results.
Okay, so I'm Mika Nussbaum. I'm going to tell you about the climate intelligence package. So I will describe LinkedIn and Linda, but very shortly because I'm not totally familiar with them. We'll then talk about rebuilding packages and running Kubernetes. Okay, so first, short introduction about Debian quality. Usually when you ask around first them, people consider that Debian quality is quite good. And we have a lot of packages in the distribution, maybe a bit too much. And all the packages are supported the same way, which is not the case of most other distributions such as Ubuntu and which Fedora, I think, has a bit different about main and the other packages. So we have that many packages, source packages and binary packages. Everybody is familiar with what is the source packages and the binary package? When you look at proprietary contest results for package installation, you see that a lot of packages have only a few installations. There are about 7,000 results in submissions per kind, and only, for example, 9,000 packages have more. 9,000 packages have less than 100 installations. So most packages don't have a lot of users. So automatic testing is a way to answer that regarding quality by giving the same level of attention to all packages in Debian, and not only to rely on humans to find bugs. It's also a way to avoid regressions and to keep maintainers busy. I think that's important, especially before the release, because some maintainers tend to care on an intermittent basis about their package, and submitting bugs regularly against their package is a good way to have them look at it and check that it's okay for the release, even to consider other issues. So I'll first talk about Lintian and Linda. So Lintian is mostly written in Perl, while Linda is in Python. They do static checks on a Debian package. That is, they don't install it, they just decompress it and analyze what's in them. It's very easy to run them yourself. They generate a lot of warnings and errors, and some false positives too. So there's a website on lintian.debian.org, which is not really up to date. So as an example output from a package I chose totally randomly, which is not here. So, it's not really good. Okay. So you see that a lot of packages have a lot of warning and errors found by Lintian. Probably many false positives in this package. So about Lintian, currently the main problem is that maintainers don't really use it, and a lot of packages still have a lot of warning and errors that would be easy to fix. So if you maintain a given package, just run Lintian and fix the bugs. And you can use overrides if the warnings and errors it displays are really false positive. And maybe it would be interesting to work on some infrastructure, for example, to answer the question that was asked somewhere there, and to be able to for example, list all packages with the same warning as the same error, which would help to solve them, all of them at the same time. Okay, so about rebuilding packages, what I've mostly been doing with a few last months. So, first a summary about when package is built in Debian. So, package with there are two kinds of package which apply to all architectures, and package which apply to only which apply to all the architecture without being rebuilt. For example, Perl script won't need to be rebuilt when run on ISO86 or AMD64, and all the package that need to be rebuilt for each architecture, that's Arch any package or Arch, which only a subset of Arch architecture. So architecture, all packages are built only on the developer's machine and are never built automatically after that. And packages with architecture any are built automatically, are built locally on the developer machine and then on all the other architectures once they get uploaded. So after the package is uploaded, the build environment sometimes changes. This new older compiler, or a bit older, because when a package goes from unstable to testing, it might have to run under another library version, for example. And even if the library is supposed to be the same, sometimes it's not the same. So build dependencies might not be available anymore. For example, build dependencies are not considered for testing propagation. So if a package builds with inside unstable and then moves to testing, the package it needs to build might be removed and it can't build anymore in testing. So this leads to problem because first everyone should be able to rebuild your package. That's quite obvious. And stable release must be self-contained. It means that you must be able to rebuild a stable release with that release. You mustn't need a package from unstable to rebuild. Because if you get if you need to fix a security bug in a package 1 year or 2 years after a release, you really need to be able to rebuild the package cleanly. To rebuild package, several tools already available. There's the PQ Builder, which builds a package inside the script. So it's very easy to use, and you should use it yourself if you aren't using it already. It tends to be quite slow because it has to uncompress the tarball. And you can use CoBuilder, which is in the CoDancer package, to make it faster. There's also a Debian package called SBuild, which relies on sroot, which is another Debian package, to build package inside the sroot, a bit like what build demands do. So that's harder to set up, but if you're already using sroot, it's quite easy. It is much more powerful than using KeyBuilder, and it finds less fault positives than KeyBuilder. So the main problem when you try to rebuild package, especially when you try to rebuild all package in Debian, is that it takes a lot of time. For example, it takes about 10 days on a single normal computer. But most packages are very fast to build. So this nice curve shows you that 90% of package build in less than 100 seconds. But some packages take a very long time to build. You have a list there. There's obvious ones, the less obvious one like LaTeX, CGC, Chinese Arctic. And during the last 2 months, I ran several rebuilds of the World Archive on a computer grid. And the problem with those packages like OpenOffice and the kernel is that I run my rebuilds on 40 nodes, so I could rebuild all the archive in 7.5 hours. And it's useless to add more nodes. I could, but it's useless because there's still those packages that take 7.5 hours. So using more nodes is useless. So it would be great if those few packages could build a bit faster. So currently, there's no way to tell package to use several CPUs. No standardized way. That's a bug against the demand policy. So solutions I see in the near future would be to work on that bug to get a common interface and make package that would benefit from that use several CPUs. Actually, some package like
also OpenOffice and GCC already use OneState.
So yeah. No, but you have to. The problem is that it doesn't use it by default.
It now uses just by default, of course.
I have to double check.
Can you do it with this DC?
No, just make one change.
Yeah. You mean it calls another make file with
yeah.
manage? Okay, because I thought I had a speed up with my first one. Okay, anyway. So the problem is that the idea is to pass a build option to package that could use this, saying, for example, you can use 2 CPUs or 4 CPUs. And some package implements some kind of interface like that, like the kernel does this, but there's no standard interface for all package. And some package fail to build when told to use several CPUs, even if they have the interface in the file, in the Debian rules. So I also considered just ignoring those package in my rebuilds, because it's easier for me to rebuild all of them at the same time, but I could also just work on those that take less than an hour and work on the other separately. About rebuilding package, there's some future work I'd like to do. First, there's some tests on build scripts. I think Martin was interested about that. So we have to talk about Kingwood and stuff like that. Because I don't remember what it was about exactly.
it was about seeing if the clean rule still works after the whole package has been built, so you can assure a package can easily be rebuilt several times in a row.
Okay, without really decomposing the
system. Yes.
Yes, so that's one thing to do. Something else I started to do is to compare what I built with what is in the archive, and that's quite depressing because we have many packages which have additional files in the archive and less files if you rebuild them, for example. A very common example is Python libraries that were compiled with that were built when Python 2.3 was available. And then if you rebuild them now, there's no longer Python 2.3, so there's only the Python 2.4 libs in the file list. But I have a huge number of errors found by this, and I haven't started really looking at it. So if somebody is interested in looking at that, just tell me. I'm also interested in building in strange environments. For example, a system with a lot of development packages installed, and see if that changes the generated package. I don't know if that's really relevant, but I have to think about it. But or maybe build using different compiler versions. I've already done some work with GCC 4.2, I think, just to see if it still was able to build the whole archive. So if you have ideas about that, what other tests to do, just tell me. So now QPATS. So QPATS, test installation removal of packages. So basically what it does is that it spins up a shroot, it removes everything except APT and dipposter actually. So everything is removed, or the package not needed by APT and dipposter are removed. It installs the package to test and its dependencies, and then it removes everything, purging all dependencies, and then purge the package. So it tests, this test, the maintainer fits, it's pre-inst, post-inst, run, post-run, in the most extreme conditions, but that still can be met under some by some strange users that would remove some package, and some mistakes are quite easy to reproduce actually. So it also can test other things like upgrades, running process, test for running process after the package has been removed, for dangling syndings, there are lots of dangling syndings. Files left after removal and purge, or files from other packages modified by the installation of the package. The problem with QPATS is that it generates a lot of false positives. So, because to be tested, a package must be able to install non-interactively, that is, using the non-interactive Debian frontend. But even if it installs like that, a lot of packages don't. it doesn't serve everything because some package need other package should be to have a different kind of to have not to be set up more than just installing Zendu. For example, it requires MySQLD or Postgres to be fully set up. So what would be great is that using that prompting with using that conf would should be required. That's not required currently. That's recommended, I think, by the policy. And after that, there's nothing much else to do about false positive, apart from just listing them so that they can be ignored in later runs. So one interesting thing to do when using two parts is to use set theory, actually, of very simple operators. That is, when to avoid being annoyed by false positive, you, for example, okay, let's take my example in the slide to be easier. So if I want to find a package that failed to install because of missing dependency on depconf, that is the package uses depconf in its postgres, but doesn't list it in its depends. I can run two paths over all package without depconf installed, then get a list of failures. And then I can just get that list of failures and run two paths on those failures. And the package that success in the second run failed the first, probably failed because dependency on depconf is missing. So that's an easy way to avoid the problem of analyzing false positives. So what future work about QPaths? So first I'd like to look at running other tests, not just installation memory failures. QPaths is now maintained collaboratively, or will be soon. Not much more work has been done. So it would be great to make it more flexible. For example, I act it quite a lot just to make it test what I wanted to test. We also have piatti.debian.org, which is a dual Xeon in Helsinki, which is known as qpaths.debian.org, I think, .net.org.
Piatti.debian.org and qpaths Helsinki fee.
Oh, okay. So it was used by Lars to run qpaths over the archive. It's slower than the grid I used to run qpaths, of course. But the idea is that this system could be used to run Xeon instances for DDs interested in investigating the failures. So they always have that system available and don't need to run them locally, which requires quite a lot of work to set up. So if you have other ideas to use this system, just tell me or Olga.
Sounds like when TPM tests the archive with the new version of GCC, sounds like the machine for it.
That would prosper. Okay, so I rebuilt the archive several times over the last month, and I ran several few parts run. Basically, the most problem I found was a human problem. This QA in Debian is mostly done by individuals. So first, it's not a good solution in the long term, because nobody knows what people are doing. There are duplicated efforts. For example, when finding bugs about failed builds, I often run into already filed bugs. So that's a good thing, because it means that I'm not the only one doing that. That's quite a lot of time, because usually I start by looking at the log, and then I discover that somebody else already ran exactly the same thing. Some things were not tested even in Edge. And some resources could be really easily shared by people interested in that, but are not so. For example, people usually run rebuilds on their own system. They pay electrical bills for that, which is quite expensive for 10 days of intense CPU usage. And that's a bit non-effective because they could use data other people could provide. So it would be great if Debian QA were used for more communication about what is currently being done by people. And also to share information on processes, first, how do people test something, what are the things to know when doing a test, what are the common failures. What would be also useful would be a list of false positives, for example with pupparts, and with bugs already filed. And maybe we could use user tags too. But this is a bit complex because the fact that there's no bug filed with a user tag doesn't mean that there's no bug filed at all. So it's not really, it depends. So here is what I would like, what I would really like to see as a good process for QA in Debian. For example, if Bob wants to test a new compiler version, that if you build all package in Debian with a new version, Bob could just tell on Debian QA, and then somebody could propose to run the test because he has computing power available for that. Then Joe runs the test and just makes the logs available to Bob, which then can just analyze the log, reproduce the failure because you can't just file bugs based on somebody else's work, which might be caused by other problems, and then file the bugs. So I've created a collab QA project on Alliot, just to share as much data and stuff as possible. So currently, what is in it is my scripts to run rebuilds and pupparts on a cluster, and some scripts to analyze log file to grab for common failures. There's also a blacklist for rebuilds and pupparts, a package that you shouldn't build because they build for example, some package require network access, and when they don't have network access during the build, the build just blocks for hours, so that's really annoying. There's also a list of two parts for false positive, and the estimated build time for each package, so that's really useful when you want to rebuild a package and you want to schedule them efficiently. So please join the project and contribute more scripts. My scripts are not really I'm not very clean and commented, but I'd like to improve them and work on, with others to improve them. So currently we have a really nice set of tools which find a lot of bugs. We could clearly use them a lot more, and we have many tests to run using the existing tools and many bugs to fix as well. So maybe the main objective should be to be better at finding and fixing bugs using the current tools, even if writing new tools is clearly sexier and more funny, and I know everybody prefers to just write a new tool than to find bugs using the existing ones. Okay, that's all. What's questions?
Well, the previous talk was about MOL. I'm not sure if you were there, but it really sounds like the way to combine your efforts and to make sure there's no duplication.
Yeah. That's the technical part of the problem, that is making the log publicly accessible. But there's also the human part of the problem, to find people willing to review the logs, and that's harder, much harder.
When you test installation of a package with few parts, how do you choose the environment in which you want to install the package? Because it might work.
You give a tablet with the output of the bootstrap, and then it removes all the package which are not really needed. That is, it's a deep poster for that. And then it installs the package. So there's really nothing left in the code except apt and the poster and the dependencies.
Okay. And when you have a disjunctive dependency, you leave both alternatives.
It just installs the package using APT, so it's APT dependency resolution.
What do you see that we could actually do to make QA more feasible and better for the Lenny cycle? Do you have any thoughts after your experience on Hesh?
Maybe schedule all that stuff earlier. I think the release team would appreciate that as soon as possible. And if we could collaborate on that just to avoid doing several times the same test, that would be great. I don't know if there's much more to do, maybe there's some other things to do. But
what works well is pretty pictures. No, seriously. Pretty pictures and graphs, because when the graphs go down, DN gets better.
Yeah.
And that's, it's motivating for developers.
In the S release, temperature meter by so much of a.
The test that you told us you build are on SID or on Edge or on both?
Everything was on Edge.
Okay.
So, you obviously, you're running all of these tests on packages that are already in the archive, and you're talking about how it would be nice if maintainers run more of these tests themselves before they upload it. Do you have any suggestions on how to encourage that?
Well, there were talks about running QPaths just after uploads and reject uploads that failed with QPaths. I don't know if it's a good idea because, well, I don't know. So, I've not been Debian long enough to have anything in there.
I think for QPaths that might not be feasible because, well, you need to do that on a different host because you actually do things as roots, which is not acceptable on VMaster. Yeah. But running Lintian has been discussed, definitely.
Did I say QPaths?
Yeah, rejection based on Lintian is definitely something to look into, especially now that the hardware that runs at VMaster is actually capable of doing so.
Maybe that could be a good idea.
With QPaths, you have this transistor, yeah, it generates false positives and quite, yeah, well, relatively often. Often enough to make it annoying that your uploads get rejected for false positives. So you would need to have a way to say, well, this is a false positive.
Yeah.
Still, next.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think that's possible to do that for QPaths easily. Okay.
About packages that took a long time to build, you tried to hack the build script to have the minus J flags to see if you had a real improvement?
Not yet. What I did was look at OpenOffice, which provides some interface to do that, I think. That's the kernel and that GCC, I think. And then I modified my build script so that it sets the option for all packages. And then I discovered that many packages fail to do it in that case. So they try to use the CCP, but fail. So that's something else to look at. But since we don't have a standardized interface to say use two CPUs, to do it. I think that interface is even important for desktop computers, which are nowadays dual core and quad-core CPUs are quite common.
So how do the rest of us get access to a nice big grid to be able to build an archive?
Actually, I get access because I'm a PhD student in a lab that participates in that project. I'm not sure. Actually, I'm giving a talk in half an hour in the research room. One possibility would be to do that via a research project. That's still have to be discussed. The goal of the project is not to run Debian tests. I had the approval for that, but
But anyway, like, it took you 8 hours to rebuild the world archive, and how many times you review all the build logs?
Yeah, that's the problem, that I'm not going to continue to do that during the whole lengthy recycle. I can dedicate some time to that at the end of the recycle, but I'm doing more tests, it's just not possible. So most of the time was spent reviewing the logs.
Any more questions? Thanks for the choice.